I'm paying attention now.
Of course.
Alright.
Not to imply that I wasn't before.
Alright. Yeah. Animal Crossing, stacking fruit. You guys don't understand. Revolution is here.
Yeah.
This is the moment everyone's been waiting for.
Exactly.
America has won. Al-Qaeda has been defeated. We can stack fruit now. Is it legal? Can you name your town Fart Town on that?
I think you can. It's like 8 characters.
Would I have to do it all as one word, like Fartin? Fartin. I'm naming it Fartin.
Fartin. I'm sure you can. Like, I think there's like some robust online features though that like people can block you if they think you're like inappropriate though.
More like robot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the goof is that Fartin robot. Because but
not paying attention anymore.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Game Poet Uncast. I'm your host, Jordan Haygood, and joining me today are, at last, Marshall Henderson.
Hey. What do you mean, at last?
Our audience
like
knows.
You're implying he hasn't been here. What are you thinking?
He's actually been hiding in the corner this whole time, every episode.
He gives us moral support.
If you can hear him, then you get points, people.
Yep.
Anyway, here's Beryl.
Stop.
Corn.
Hi.
And, oh look, we have Marcus.
No, we don't.
I guess we don't.
Let's be honest.
Well, I'm off.
There goes the podcast.
There's no reason to be here anymore. But yeah, he's our guest host. Be happy. In any case, what have we all been playing this week? How about you, Marcus? Oops. Mark.
I played a whole bunch of things, but I can't remember them anymore because I can just remember Animal Crossing.
Well,
that's all that matters.
It's all that's on your mind.
If you go on Twitter, that is pretty much the only thing that matters.
Always on my mind.
Yeah, it's good.
So Animal Crossing, and more Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
All today, because it came out today.
Well, I was playing Toro's Friend Connection on Vita,
which is
similarly addicting, but I don't think I'll be able to play both of them now.
What is that game? Like, honestly, I've seen random screenshots. It's like, do you want a friend request or no? It's like, is that the game? It's like, you just say yes or no to a bunch of people?
It's not really a game, you know? Sort of like a lot of social games aren't like necessarily actual games. It's just like, you make friends with people, and you assign them to do tasks in your little villages, and they like build stuff, but it doesn't do anything. I mean, it's just there to look nice.
Oh.
And that's basically all there is. You level up, you fight dungeons, sort of like a 3DS stuff with the Miis or whatever.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the
and you get like little items for your character, but you don't get anything else, you know. And the worst thing about it is that when you make friends with people through the game, it's real friend requests on PSN.
Oh, God.
So if you have, like, a bunch of friends already, then you're not going to be able to finish the game because you're supposed to have 100 friends made through the game. And your PSN friends list can have 100 people.
Yeah. Yeah. So you basically dismiss the ones you have.
for no reason.
You guys, you don't understand, man. Toro's Friend Connection.
Yeah.
I'm not getting rid of you guys.
So I'm probably going to stop that soon, unless you can defriend like friends made from the game and it still counts, because I have like 50 right now.
The only solution is just to send friend, or just tell everyone about the game. Get a Vita. So you gotta make sure you lose nobody.
Yeah.
But yeah, Toro's Friend Connection, 10 out of 10. We're going to see a review on that shortly, aren't we?
No.
Not enough for a game review.
He doesn't have time. He's playing Animal Crossing now. He can't review anything until he...
you know, as much as I want to believe that, Marcus will find a way.
If anyone will find a way.
Yeah. He'll review five games when he gets up and then play it the rest of the day.
Like, he'll just multitask. He'll be like strolling through the town with one hand and typing.
He's not even looking at the screen. He's just writing review while playing.
Got like the world ends with you experience. Dual screen action. He knows.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, in the case of Animal Crossing, would you say that that is the Citizen Kane of video games?
Is the what?
Citizen Kane of video games?
I wouldn't say it's Citizen Kane.
Would you say it's the Weekend at Bernie's of video games?
No. I can't think of a comparable
Baby's
film.
Day Out?
It's the the Animal Crossing movie of video games.
Is it the cop dog of video games? The Air Buddies of video games? I don't know
no
why
way.
That's awesome.
Air Buddy's way lower. Air Bud's like Call of Duty.
Call of Duty is the Air Bud of video games?
Call of Buddy.
Okay.
Just imagine Call of Duty with dogs.
Oh. Well, what?
Oh yeah, ghosts.
Oh, I thought you made that on purpose.
I thought you was too. I was trying to like build up a joke, but now I'm disappointed you didn't actually think that. Anyway, sounds like that's all you've been playing, correct?
Yes.
All right, next person. I will try to steer it to Corn because I don't want to talk yet. I'm busy with my kingdom.
I don't want to talk.
Two games we're talking about this week, I guess. So the week I played the Rogue Legacy demo, which is quite cool. It's for people who like the 2D Castlevanias, also known as the good Castlevanias.
Yep. Well, I agree with that. That's why I find it funny. Anyway, continue.
So there's like a randomly generated castle. It's 2D as well as Castlevania, which was why I specified. And there's a tutorial bit before, but that doesn't count because it's a tutorial. You run into a castle and then you die in like 5 seconds or something if you're like me. And then, unlike a roguelike, you don't just start from the beginning again. You choose, I guess, one of your children, I guess. I don't know. You just choose another character. And it has a whole bunch of different stats and stuff. So, and traits. The traits are pretty interesting. You can be colorblind, or dyslexic, a whole bunch of crazy stuff. Then you run into the castle again and die.
And then you're slowly
getting better. And then you try and fight the boss, and then you go, I've been playing this for like a few hours, now I should stop.
Is there more than one dungeon thingy?
No, the castle's pretty big. Okay. There's a map when you first enter it, which has like castle area, garden area, whatever, and I've only gone through the first little castle area. It's quite big for a demo. I presume it stops once you fight the boss dude, but I haven't done that yet.
Enjoy it. Good
castle. Yeah, if you like Metroidvania kind of stuff, check it out. It's not too big of a download. I also don't have a piss poor job of selling it to you guys, but whatever.
It's PC game. You're not going to sell it to me either way. But
you don't need to use Steam or any of that crap.
If it was on handheld or console, I would play it. But I will keep note of it if it exists. Maybe like
and okay. And now for the other game, which is not one of the most joyous games I've played in my life. Your border security, basically. Really depressing. Russian border security or Soviet Union Russian security.
I think I know what you're talking about. What's the game title?
Papers, Please.
Papers, Please.
Yep.
God, I played that all in one sitting. And it was just wow. I don't know why I did that, but I played it.
Sounds like a great game.
I hear like a lot of buzz from it. It's like it's very elaborate. It's like
it's
very morally like it's kind of like morally gray. Like everything you do, you don't know if it's completely good or not. It's like oh, that guy just. Destroyed the airport or something, I don't know. Or I just let this guy that looks completely shady go by. I don't know.
This is one that this chick gives you a letter and goes, hey, there's a dude, he's gonna sell me to prostitution or whatever if you let him through. But and then he comes through and there's nothing wrong with him. So you're like, do I? I can't. So I didn't send him through, but then I got called on it and they gave me a ticket or whatever. Yeah. But thankfully I was so good at border security, they didn't find me.
Yeah.
Because it was my only ticket of that day. I got a few others, but whatever.
But you managed to beat it and whatnot? I don't really know.
Yeah, I got to the end. It wasn't too hard. I mean, I got my son got sick once or whatever, so that took a cut out of my budget or whatever.
Have not. Little kids.
Yeah, exactly. You're working your butt off trying to keep the flight safe, and they just go and get sick, ruin in your motivation.
Because you get paid, I think, per person that gets through. So you kind of want to do it quickly, because obviously you need to pay for food, rent, and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't, your family kind of gets sick or whatever.
Yep.
Not that I really care, but... you have to kind of do it quite quickly. It's kind of interesting, I don't know. It's rather short, so you can check that as well if you want.
And
just do something happy afterwards to balance it out.
All right. Nah. And speaking of happiness, how about Marshall Henderson?
Speaking of happiness,
I don't know how to delicately put this, but for the past couple of weeks, my diet has consisted largely of Hot Pockets and stuff. So I've been playing a lot of Soul Sacrifice.
What?
Some nice relevance.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. They're related. Trust me. They made me poop a lot, and it's a handheld game, so I pooped and played the game.
Ah, bottom bum. Okay.
Oh yeah.
That's not a joke. I'm telling. I'm
just. Yes,
telling
I know. You. I get. But now I drew the parallel. Okay.
I'm just telling. I'm look. I think of us all as begrudging acquaintances to two friends, and I'm just letting you guys know what's going on in my life.
So you have stomach problems, and you are forced to play Soul Sacrifice out of means of killing time rather than any real investment.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I don't have to tell you, you've played it. But
yep.
It's worth doing, I guess.
Did you make any progress in the story or whatever?
I'm on like the last chapter thing. I've gone through a few of those, but I haven't like pushed all the way through.
Mm. Yeah, those are kind of hard. The last ones are kind of difficult from what I remember.
Yeah. Well, it's all like, hey, you know all them really difficult ones that you fought before? You want to fight them again? I'm like, nope. I'm like, well, too bad.
But yeah.
Like,
so, and that's the only thing you've... No, that's not true. I saw at least some Star Trek, implied Star Trek, but you've already talked about it before, I think.
Yeah. If you look at my Steam... Okay, I have this terrible habit of not wanting to boot the game up, even though it takes no effort to do so. So I just leave it on all the time. So if you go on my Steam, it says that I've played it for like 470 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, if you want to believe that, go ahead. But
I already do. I have little reason to believe that you aren't playing it right now.
Dedication.
I'm not going to say that I'm not playing it right now, but all I'm doing is like running around in circles in the fleet, so
proving my point. 478 hours Star Trek.
Yep.
Now we know. And anything else?
If you want to play a game, if you want to play a MMORPG that is faithful to the source material, then you know Star Trek has this thing to do that. Though you have to fight a lot of things. They don't really fight that much stuff in the show, but you're like basically killing constantly. Like that ain't right. Starfleet was chartered for peaceful exploration. Like,
yeah, but gamers are really violent, and you need to sate them, or they'll kill real people.
Yeah,
that's the point of games.
You aren't the Starfleet, technically, aren't you? Like, you are your own fleet.
No, you play Starfleet. Well, you can play Klingon, which makes sense that you kill a bunch of things, or you could play a Romulan, which makes sense that you'd kill a bunch of things, but they have a lot of like direct combat, which Romulans don't do that. I mean, you look at their Dederidex ships, and they've got all them weapons on the front. They're intimidating, but they're more stab people in the back type people.
Okay, words that I don't understand, but I heard a bunch of them, and it's faithful to Star Trek. All right.
Yeah,
which means it sucks.
Two thumbs up.
Let's move on.
Okay.
You suck.
Let's move to the next topic before Marshall tears out his throat. And Jason, he tells Jason about it. You also kill him.
Yeah. Jason, You're not going to listen to this, Jason, but if you ever listen to this, you should play Star Trek Online. And also, Korn is dead.
You know, I think Jason needs like a break from anything related to Star Trek after what he had to go through recently.
Did he have a traumatic experience?
He played the recent Star Trek game.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's a miracle he's still alive.
Anyway. But yeah.
When you get to Captain Rank, there's a whole series of quests. It was based on Deep Space Nine. You gots to do it. You gots to do it, Jay.
And I hear Deep Space Nine is where it's at, according to these two. Anyway.
Yes. Okay, Beryl. Tell us about your video game life.
I randomly decided to get back into Persona 4 Arena, and I schooled a lot of people. That was like two of my days.
Sure.
Yep. Like,
who's your character?
I use half the cast. I don't really main anyone.
Which?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I use Kanji. I use Shadow Labyrinth. I use who else? Yosuke. I know. I'm sorry. I think that's my main. So yeah, but
the correct answer to that was obviously Mitsuru. So I don't understand what you're doing.
You know, I wanted to get into Mitsuru as soon as the game came out. Same with Chie, but in terms of like competitive play, Chie is the most boring character ever, and Mitsuru is kind of like the character everyone hates in terms of balance.
Yeah,
and it feels so easy to win with her when you start learning combos. Like, you feel like you cheated. Ah, no. But yeah, I know.
I don't understand the way fighting games work. It's like, this character is my favorite character, and they do the best.
So you know,
play as that character. It's like Chun-Li. Chun-Li's the best character in Street Fighter. Just science facts.
I like the more tactical character, though. Like, it's just like, there's much more satisfaction in me, like, learning how to play the game when I how much more I can do with them. Like, with Mitsuru, it's kind of like, you just toss them in a corner, you do, like, a damage with a bunch. Like, it's all muscle memory in no time. You don't really have to wing it at any point. But
okay, I will give special allowance to Sakura and Street Fighter as well.
You're also anyway, that I won a lot of matches because I'm still at low rank on PS3 version. And, yeah, that happened. Those were two evenings. I've also been playing a New Little King Story, which, for those who don't know, is a sequel to Little King Story, which was on the Wii, and it's kind of similar to Pikmin. And that game is pretty addicting if it doesn't make a good first impression. Like, early in, you're like, everything, this localization, there's nothing going on. It's like, the localization's so bad. Like, the intro literally starts with, like, these salad days won't last very long. Like, the word salad, you know, like the vegetable. Anyways.
I don't know what salad is. I've been living off of Hot Pockets for a couple of weeks.
But yeah, I've been playing that. I'm literally playing that as we speak. And it is probably the most engaging Pikmin game I've played. And that's about it.
That's it for you?
Yep, yep.
All right, I guess it's my turn then. Aside from playing a bit more of Luigi's Mansion, I can't really think of anything else other than that I bought a Wii U during the week, and
it's still updating.
Huh? No, it updated in like 30 minutes.
Anyway.
But yeah, I played some Super Metroid. Because it was,
30 cents?
30 cents, yeah. I was like, oh, geez, I gotta buy that one.
That's what I hear from every Wii U owner. I don't hear people playing games on it, except for buying the retro ones. They're like,
selling for 30 cents, come on.
You don't understand.
Too good. And Super Metroid is a good game. I also downloaded the demo for, Rayman Legends, and, I wish that were out already. That's a good game so far. I played that Castle Rock level like 5 times. Just the one with the music.
Yep.
Black Betty or something?
I know what you're talking about. I just can't recall it.
Yeah, it's the main one people know from that game pretty much at the moment.
like watched so throughout, like, and I had like a poker face. I was like, "Is it real?"
Yeah. I also downloaded the Resident Evil Revelations demo for that, and
wait, that's on Wii U or?
Yeah, it's on Wii U.
Like, not to be mean or anything, but like a lot of ports are not making it way on their systems like nowadays.
No, it's on like, there.
All right.
What else did I?
Lego?
I think. I haven't bought any games yet. All I have other than those were the one it came with, which was Nintendo Land. So I played that a little bit to try it out, see what kind of stuff the console provides, because.
Like it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. You know, it's like Wii Sports kind of fun, where it's not like a full game experience really, but it's cool to see what kind of stuff the thing can do.
Basically, what I'm gathering from your tone is that you are calling Jason crazy for thinking it's more than that.
Well, it has a lot of content and it's addicting in with some of the little areas. But you know what I'm talking about, like a big AAA title or something, like a Mario or Zelda or something that Nintendo would have, that you'd spend like several hours on at a time.
Yep, yep. But like your new Wii U, like you unboxed it.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently, yeah. All
right.
Yeah, I did. So, I did
enjoy
that.
Your new system.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll get around to the games.
Hopefully, once I can afford
them. And hopefully the games get around to it too.
I agree. I guess we'll see what happens later.
All right, but how about we move on to the next main
topic?
Yeah,
the main topic. Well, after the podcast last week, we kind of got into this discussion, so we decided to move it over to you know, an actual episode. And that was the concept of review scores, and because like a lot of sites, they have, you know, 1 to 10 point scores, but really all they do is they have like 7 to 10, and anything below 7 sucks. At least that's what they make people believe. It's like 7 and below, they just don't matter. If people look at 7, 8, 9, 10, and it's like, oh, I guess I should look at those. But like, how do you feel about the concept of review scores? Do you feel that games can actually be like truly graded with points, like a 1 through 10 scale?
Maybe not accurately.
Yeah,
that's a good ballpark figure that the reviewer thought this game was, you know, good or excellent or garbage.
Yeah.
Also, like, as much as I like insert whatever to him, like a lot of times that is the thing that gets people clicks is the score. Like, people kind of won't inherently care about the review unless there's some sort of like score attached to it, and if they are interested in how they got to that score or whatever, they'll read up on the review. A lot of people will not approach the review if they don't give it a score, which is sad.
Yeah, and a lot of times when people look at reviews, they look at the score first. If it's like a good score, they'll read the review and see why. And if it's like a 6 or something, they're like, I guess that game sucks, I'll move on to the next one.
Maybe. Or sometimes it's like...
Sometimes if it's really bad, they want to see why.
Or they want to reaffirm the opinion. It's like,
some people.
They are like, oh man, I love this game. I'm kind of bored right now though, because I'm not playing this game. So I'm going to read up on some reviews. What? 5?
Yeah. Sometimes the review scores kind of ruin it for other people. Like, with movies, for instance, sometimes I look at like Rotten Tomatoes and I see like this movie gets like 50% on Rotten Tomatoes or less, and makes you think that you're not gonna like the movie if you saw it, but once you actually see it, you seem to be one of the people that enjoy it. And it's the same with some games. Like, there are some games other people consider bad, and then I play it and I actually enjoy it. Like, I guess one would be Resident Evil 6. That was a big one where some people gave it an 8 or 7 or something, and then those who didn't give it those scores, it was like 3, 2, whatever. Like, it was either really good or really bad.
Yeah, I think they, like, GameSpot had to change theirs after writing it. Like, yeah. They had like a 3.5. They're like, wait a second, that's a little too low. Even if you didn't like it. I don't know. I don't think it's GameSpot, but I know a site, a big site, did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we are under a gallery.
Wouldn't be surprised if it was Polygon. I know they have a tendency of just changing their scores. At least that one game I remember, maybe. I don't remember. I think it was like a really good score for something, and then I think due to criticism of people like saying, oh, that game sucks, and they like put it down to something worse to kind of...
Really? Stand by your fucking opinion. Yeah. You're ruining everything if you do that.
I think it might have been that the experience, because they were playing on the servers that they had for people reviewing the game when they did it, but when the game actually came out, they couldn't play it.
SimCity 5?
Yeah, I know that's the case for like stuff like SimCity. I think Battlefield had similar problems like that. It's like it was released, it was like really broken in like a day one patch, and it was like a different game almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
As far as that goes, I don't think instead of just rushing out a review before everyone can buy it, you should probably sit back and make sure that the experience you're getting is the same that people who buy it is going to get.
Oh, there's a certain degree of taking it on faith that the company is going to, like, that's the point of them giving you the
trust
review.
Companies.
Yeah,
I knew that was the reason we didn't have you around anymore.
There's a certain, you kind of have to do that to a certain degree, and the fact they changed it shows that, you know, they're not just going to keep riding on that faith or whatever. Like, well, yeah. The company, you know, gave us an inaccurate representation, so we're going to change the score to reflect
that.
Yeah,
I don't like that. Like, it's like, you can make a note, like, after the review. Like, I saw that, like, I was glancing at the Persona 4 Arena one. There's, like, they said, like, the 360 version is kind of, like, the netcode is just completely to hell on 360 for, like, a good month or so. And the score reflected that. But the PS2 version was slightly higher. But the thing is that, like, even after the review was done, they kept that score, and they had a note saying, like, a patch does fix it, but that is, this review was written with that mindset.
Yeah. Which
I think you should do. Like, I know there's, the only exception I would consider making for that kind of game is, like, SimCity.
Basically permanently like that.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if anyone ever watches Rev3 Games, the YouTube channel that Adam Sessler does now. The person who reviewed SimCity decided to wait until after everyone else reviewed it because they didn't feel it was fair to review the game until, you know, the stuff was fixed. Because a lot of people reviewed the game, gave it a really terrible score just because of the servers. And they didn't find that fair, so, yeah.
I don't think it's fair that people buy a game they can't play.
It came out, it was launched, it wasn't a beta, it was out.
Yeah, I know.
I do think that, you know, you shouldn't necessarily rate a game horribly because it's not going to be broken forever, usually.
Yeah.
Like, Diablo 3 is perfectly fine now. It wasn't, but it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
Until they shut the servers off.
It's kind of like in some cases people are too quick to review stuff. It was like one of the things I don't know, it's some people try to get the review out before everyone else, and so it's, sometimes they're just completely biased, and sometimes they don't even play the game. Sometimes they, like, maybe play 15 minutes and they're like, okay, I have some kind of opinion, I'll just write this review and get it out before everyone else.
I'm pretty sure everyone who has a job reviewing currently does replay games for longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I know, but
there was at least that one, this one really big incident with God in Hand, where the person couldn't beat the first level and still reviewed it.
Okay, man. That's the way to do it.
I want to read it.
I'm not even sure if the review's still there, but it's funny. It's a really bad review. It's like they gave it like a 2 or 3. It's like, this game is boring. All the enemies are the same, you know?
You're in one level. Of course all the enemies are the same.
It's really short as well.
Yeah, it ends right at the end. This one enemy just stops you and you just can't beat him. I
mean, the ending's really disappointing.
Oh, man.
Well, how do you guys feel about how Game Podunk does it, because what I see with other big sites, or I say other, but we're not very big at the moment. But like other sites, I see like, you know, it's basically a 7 to 10 scale, because like below that is just a bunch of different words for bad, like terrible, bad, awful. You know, kind of. What we have is like, isn't it 5 average?
Yeah.
For us. Exactly.
6 is decent, 7 is good, 8 is great, and I don't know the last 2, but...
9 is fantastic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And masterful.
And, yeah, 10 is masterful, that's what it was. Yep. But...
Because it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. It can be. Well, and that's how you should approach any game, because let's be realistic. I mean, you should like a game knowing, like... There's nothing gonna be perfect. Like, we can get into this whole philosophical argument, but it's like you are, that is the pinnacle of game design. Like, that's what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
like what a 10 is.
They couldn't have improved it. It doesn't need to be improved. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the problems don't take away.
Metal Gear Solid 3. That's a perfect game. I mean, let's be real here. Like, if you're looking at it in the platonic forms or whatever, when you have a game that exists in the human world, and then there's the game that informs all the games that exist in the human world, that game is Metal Gear Solid 3, realistically speaking. Like, I think we can all agree upon that.
Yes, we all agree on that.
So
it's just for all of us.
But
if I was to go back and review Metal Gear Solid 3, I'd probably at least think about giving it a 10 for a little bit.
Yeah.
I might. I'm not sure. I can't quite remember that far back.
I'd give it a 7. It has busted controls, has some frame rate issues.
Oh, Beryl, I'd give you an IGN 6.
IGN 6? You mean a 6.1?
But, I want to...
Oh, we can talk about that later.
Question. Like, how do we feel like, not to be mean, sorry, Corin, you're slightly excluded in this type of conversation, but like,
it's okay, I understand. I'll just go make some lunch or something.
We're just saying you're less important as a person. That's all.
Less important.
That's it.
I get that a lot, don't worry.
You have your own. You will have a lot of time after this, near the end of the podcast, for your own.
Oh, I should probably take this time to plan that.
Anyway, the point is, how do we, like, as writers, like, how do you feel when you're doing, like, assigning a score review or, like, writing stuff, knowing that the score will be like the thing that wraps it up?
Like, I think I can easily speak for all of us to say that, like, just not to you know, give up too many secrets on how we do our reviews here, but don't we all just take the amount of money that they give us and use that to determine what score to give it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They definitely pay every reviewer a large sum.
Yeah. Like, sorry guys, this is a little light here, so I guess I'm gonna give you guys a 6.
Yeah.
That's why all the reviews over here in New Zealand are so high. Just the exchange rates are magnificent.
Yeah. Like, here's $40. I'm gonna pay you $40. Geez, I could feed my family for a month on this. Thanks, guys. 10 out of 10. Last of Us, best game ever made.
Of course. I mean, Sony's rolling in dough. I mean, they have no financial problems whatsoever. And of course they can afford those 10s.
Yeah. That's the only reason that happened. They're able to fork out the money for them 10s.
But, I mean, there's, like, let's maybe go into that topic. It's, people, like, I think a larger majority of them, there should be, think that most reviewers are paid off. And, I mean, mock reviews definitely do exist. They are, and they pay good money. Like, it's like you write a fake review, and the thing is that, like, it definitely looks like a legit review if you know what a good mock review is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they are paid by the publisher. They are in a controlled environment. They are basically told what to say and how to write it. But, like, they will say, like, some criticisms, like, it will definitely look like a normal review.
Yeah.
But those are, believe it or not, most sites kind of live off this whole, like, trust in writers. And a lot of sites are established, like, established on that fact is, like, if they didn't, a lot of them would be totally not exist anymore.
Like, well, so I think you could probably run a pretty popular news story someone tried to pay you off. They're just like, holy crap, look at this.
Like, how quickly could you, like, dismantle a person's job just because of that? It's like, a lot of these, I don't know if people believe it, but a lot of the big name sites are designed around these, like, sort of, at least what their opinion reflects. They aren't necessarily, like, paid by the publisher. Although we can get into a slightly weird story about how clicks work and you know.
Oh, yeah, marketing and all that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not just that, like, getting early copies and getting the first review, cough, cough.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when you read that review early, you are the ones who are supporting that. You are paying more than any mock review if you read a person's, like, click their page and a bunch of people other click their page. You're giving that site a lot more money than a mock review would give that person. I don't.
Yep.
But anyway,
and
I guess that's out of my system.
And
how do we? What?
I was just gonna say I was suddenly reminded of somehow the whole thing where some reviewers will just make an unnecessarily terrible score for a game just for clickbait. Like, hey, if I give this game a 2 or something, everyone's gonna come on to see why.
It does exist. Those do exist, but people, like, you gotta have more faith in the people who write these things. Like, they reflect their opinion. They may not be completely intelligent in their opinion, but it does reflect their opinion.
even if it doesn't, though, I mean, to quote Men in Black, when a person is smart, people are dumb. You know, you're reading that or whatever. A person might look at that and be like, "Hey, yeah, this is not a very good review. It doesn't seem to be very sincere or, you know, very accurate to what the general consensus is or whatever." And then they play it for themselves and see that that's not the case. That person's going to be a lot less inclined to trust that person's review. So if you do that, if there's the type of person who does that with a bunch of reviews, that person's not going to have any degree of, like, trust or whatever. So I don't see that being a particularly successful career strategy in the long run.
Yeah, and it's like, instead of just reading these reviews and saying, oh, this game sucks, I'm not going to play it myself, then, you know, being the kind of person that plays all the games for themselves instead of listening to reviews all the time, you know, that helps. Like you said, you know.
We do have this nasty habit, especially in, you know, in the nerdier fields than other ones, but people have this nasty habit of assuming that if someone is cynical, then that means they're intelligent, so negativity somehow equates accuracy or something.
Like scientists, so. In that case,
it's like, all you're giving is 9s and 10s, you're not very smart.
So basically
you're pointing, calling me out in terms of reviews, aren't you, Marsh? You're directly calling me out for not giving any game a 9 yet. I knew it.
Yes. No, I'm saying that there's a certain degree, there are some people who might fall for that sort of thing or whatever, for the fact that they might see someone that is extremely negative as being especially critical or whatever, more willing to point out the flaws or whatever. So
yeah,
well, I mean, going back to, like, the original topic I was trying to get into, it's like, the way I review things, it's kind of like how I feel about the game, like, after I played it and whatnot. It's like, what would I use to describe that game, like, after I played it, and how I feel about it overall? It's like, game podunk, you wrap up, like, the thing is, like, the word N-word is, like, for 6, it's, like, decent. It's like, I played Black Rock Shooter, like, it didn't offend me any, like, way. It was competent as a game overall. It did some interesting things, but as a whole, it was just kind of, it was very samey, as I say in my review.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's sort of like, and I see other reviews for that game, and it's got, like, a 7 average, and I can understand that, because people, you know, have obviously enjoyed it, but it's kind of like, the way they're written, it's like, they're, God, what am I, I lost my train of thought. Oh well. It happens when you're playing Little King Story. But anyway, the way I review reviews, it's like I write, like I have the score and my end opinion, like sort of reflect it, like the ending word. It's like I wouldn't say something is masterful casually. I wouldn't say something is fantastic casually. That's just how my mindset works.
You're serious about it.
I'm always serious.
I'm always angry.
But how does Marcus, you write a lot of reviews.
Yeah.
That he does.
How do you approach like in terms of scoring? Like, would you prefer just like not giving game scores? Like, that's another topic, but if you want to get into that. Like, it's like, do you like the inherent concept of scores? Like, or are you fine with applying them to games? I'm sure you probably are based on how many you've done, but I mean, how would you feel about it?
When Jason and I were like assuming control of the site, at least for the editorial positions, we thought about how we would handle reviews, you know, going on, and if we wanted scores, and we figured we needed scores because that's what is the general consensus, you know, people need that on most gaming sites. But I hate your scores so bad. I don't want them ever.
That's what I thought. I remember you saying something like that. But like...
Yeah. I mean, I guess they have a purpose. Because, you know, you can see, like, overall, like, through their words, you get a grasp for what they're thinking. But then, you know, I guess a score sort of cements that idea of what they felt about a game. But then if everyone is always giving things like high scores, then... What can you really glean from scores?
Yeah,
I think 7 to 10 or 7 to 9, I guess. then everything's good all the time, except for like I guess a few instances when games will get like a 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Because it's an okay game to give it to. I can't remember the last time that happened, but I remember everyone was giving some game really bad scores because they're like, maybe it was Resident Evil 6. I don't know. It's just like it's okay to hate on. Aliens, Colonial Marines. Yeah. It's okay to call that game broken. I haven't played it, but it didn't look
technically
destroyed. I mean, broken is like I can't finish the game because there are these glitches here, mm-hmm. not necessarily because it's boring. Boring is normal. I don't know. We're too spoiled with really good games, I guess.
Well, I think that kind of goes into like, I think with this gen in particular is that there's a lot less of a gap between a bad game and a good one. Like there's a, like, it's kind of like, they're not as glaring. Like they're like in NES stuff. It's like, there's a big difference between like, I don't know, Shaq Fu and like Super Mario World.
Wait, in that example you just gave, which one was supposed to be the bad game? Because those are both great games.
Let me think of another one. Clay Fighter versus Super Mario World.
Okay,
but like,
Clay Fighter's not on NES.
Super Nintendo, whatever. And Super World isn't on NES either.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
you can pick up my context of what I meant. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that, like, just in general, like you see something like Fuse, and it's like it hasn't been getting scores, but it's like I've heard it's just like that game's sort of middling. It doesn't offend in any way. Like, and it's not inherently bad. But it's just so, like, derivative. And that is, like, that's, like, something that would get, like, 6s or 5s from most sites. And that is, it's like, for what it is, it's, like, it's not busted, it's not broken, but it is graded, like, it is a very bad game.
Yeah.
Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, in general, like, just, or... Like, you know, you get so many, like, crappy platforms back in the day. It's like Avoid the Noid or whatever. What is that name? Is it called Avoid the Noid or the Noid?
I don't know.
I think, well, that's, like, the full thing. I don't know if that's...
I know Avoid the Noid is at least what they always say.
Yeah.
So, if anything, it's at least the slogan.
Like, in general, you know, like, games like copying the Call of Duty formula, it's like, they've, like, controls are, like, you know... Controls are not as big of a problem as they used to be. Like, visual, like, problem like visual issues are not as big as they used to be. Like glitches are slightly debatable on if a game works or not nowadays because people, but even then, it's like the worst ones that didn't work did not work at all back in the day. Like, what was that? Yeah, I'm not going to even get into really obscure examples. But like, just in general, this gen, it's like, it's kind of like it makes reviewing, I would imagine, more difficult than it used to be. Because it's like, you can't really get angry at the games that are made because, like, most, a lot of the games, I mean, I can get plenty angry at Let's Fish. But, like, man, that, I mean, I still, part of me really wanted to give it a lower score.
Did they pay you?
No.
How much did they pay you?
Well, like, that was a like, a review dilemma because, like, at one point I was all right with that game. Like, I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's and then I got really angry at the game. And I was like, everything's wrong with this game. It's broken. It's busted. But like, there's a tiny point where I was all right with the game. So it was kind of like gone to the morally gray area of, do I rate it like it's a busted, completely busted game, which it sort of was, or do I rate it as a game that's pretty much busted, but it could almost have enjoyment. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, what I'm getting is that this gen's weird. A lot of samey games, like copying the Call of Duty formula and whatnot, it's like a lot of them don't inherently bad, as they are derivative and sort of bland and boring. Like, I don't know, weird gen. But yeah, any guys who want to contribute? Because I sort of, I couldn't really make a concise point on that. I'm sorry.
I wanted to say, I think, like, your preconceived notion of games sometimes biases you too. Like, I think that, you know, once the first person put out a angry Colonial Marines review, that everyone else felt it was okay, you know, we're good with this too. And the people who gave it a higher score probably felt really bad, you know? Because, you know, they were like, I didn't see these problems, and now everyone thinks, like, we were paid off or something else, you know? Same is true in reverse. Whoever gave Last of Us not a 10.
Definitely. Like, I know it'll sound funny at hindsight, but like, Let's Fish was actually kind of that game in terms of like N4G. Like, I saw 8, I saw like 9s for that game, no joke. I was like, and then I was playing this game, I was like, this game is making me really angry. I don't like this game, but I don't understand why. I think these guys are really crazy. And I told Jason's like, you gotta back it up. I was like, I'm pretty sure I can back it up, but these people are crazy.
Yep. I wonder if anyone gets paid off by other companies to give these other companies bad scores. Like, here you go. Here's all this money. Give these assholes some bad scores.
But why would that benefit someone else? Like, if some people buy less of one game, they'll buy more of another game item.
I don't know. I just don't like this company. They're just out to get these companies.
A lot of
I'm sure they could find better ways.
Probably.
No, that definitely works because when you think about it, okay, two games get released at the same time. They don't have anything to do with one another. You know, you get like, I don't know, Freshest Rhymes Rap Battle 3 and like Pokemon or something. These two games come out at the same time. And completely different games, but people are still like, you know, oh, well, which one should I buy? Well, I don't know. Maybe you should buy the one that actually suits your interests. If they both suit your interests, then hey, guess what? You're in the rare demographic of being in the overlap. They're not competing with one another. People will buy the one that they actually want more.
And that's where I think the power of reviews is much bigger than people think.
Yeah.
It's like in that kind of stuff. It's like.
Should I get this or this? Oh, this one has a bigger score, so I'll get this.
Exactly. They're like, it's like, no, you gotta. And these are probably the same people who are like, you know, that game wasn't as good as they said. I could have loved it. It's like,
I'll sue them.
The one who got, like, man, Bioshock Infinite wasn't it. It's like, oh, I should have bought some other game. I don't know. It's like, maybe you should have thought for yourself.
Maybe you should have gotten the information, because everyone giving Bioshock Infinite, you know, tens or whatever, that doesn't mean that you like shooters now.
Yeah. I still don't like shooters. Not really.
I do. Let's not get into that.
Yes, let's not.
I think one thing that's kind of tough about picking a score on something, like, generally my way of doing it is I'll play a game, and after I'm done with it, I'll be like, yeah, this is, yeah, I like that, okay. And then I start writing the review or whatever, and then 6 months pass, and then I publish the review. But as I'm writing it, you know, I'm like, okay, here are the good things, here are the bad things, and these bad things. And I'm kind of pissed off about those.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to give it, like, a you know, pretty decent score or whatever, but what the hell? I forgot all about all this stuff that made me angry. And that's the way I pick a score. But the thing that's weird about that is, like, where do you... What's the metric? Like, what do you consider a 5 out of 10 that you're scoring it around that or whatever? Like, you know, you say, oh, this is an 8 compared to what? What do you... What's the 10? What's the 1? What's the 5? So, yeah. I don't know. I think that makes it kind of difficult to do that sort of thing. Like, if I were doing movies, I'd definitely say Looper is the perfect example of a 5 movie. But I don't have anything like that for games. I don't have anything where I played the game and I'm like, well, yep, that happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Marshall, are you recording this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have to go right now, so... All right. You guys are going to have to finish up without me.
All right. Have fun at work, Captain.
Yeah. Time to go be a retail slave.
Yep. All
right. Hold on 1 second.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, bye, guys.
It looks like Jordan is down for the count. Will the rest of the podcast crew be able to defeat the topic of review scores without him? How many user questions will they be able to answer? And will Korn have anything to say about New Zealand? Find out on the next episode of the Game Podunkast Z.